What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report, episode 112. Got a pretty exciting show for you guys today. Do I say that every time? Well, it's because it's an exciting show all the time, guys. Come on, get with me here. No, really, this episode is going to be ultra sweet because I've read two comic books this week that may flirt with the perfect 10 rating. Not one, but two. As of this moment right now, I'm still batting around in my head and I'm weighing them. I'm critiquing them in my brain. I've read them four or five times already. And I'm really trying to decide to give that coveted perfect score, which Rebirth Zero is the only comic book that I've given the perfect score for many reasons, which we'll go over that. But we got some great comics, just, you know, that goes without saying. But I'm going to be talking about some other things, too. I'm going to be talking about some shows that I'm watching on Netflix that I think you guys might really like. There was some reveals in the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker novelization that kind of shines some light on some questions that I know that me and the viewers have had on this show. So we're going to get to that. I'm going to give you my Superman Red Sun review. Very, very, very quick, spoiler-free review, which is which I was very, very excited to see. I could not wait to see this movie, and I finally got to see it. So I want to share that with you. But I hope you guys enjoy the show. And as always, like and subscribe. If you're listening on Anchor or iTunes, 5-star review would be fantastic. All right, guys.
Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report. I'm your host, Travis Jones. What's going on, everybody? I am so excited for the show today. And here's why. There could possibly be not one, but two perfect 10 comic books for the week. I don't know yet. As of right now, this moment, I'm speaking to you live on Twitch and Facebook. I am still considering, and I'll talk it out with you guys. Welcome everybody that's in the chat. If you are on Facebook, I am trying to monitor the chat and switching back via Twitch. For whatever reason, Twitch does not show the chat from Facebook. Don't know why that is. I really wish it did. I hope they can fix that soon. But as long as I'm sounding okay, we'll get through the show. It's a good show. I recently watched Superman Red Sun, and I've got a lot to say about it. It was extremely, extremely good. I've been wanting to see it for a long, long time, and I finally got the chance to view it. It is one of my favorite Mark Miller comics. Maybe my favorite Superman story of all time. And you know, I was really worried about him doing it justice, and I really hope that you guys think that they did. I do, just spoiler alert, I do think they did do it justice. We'll find out more as, you know, the reviews start coming out. I really haven't heard a whole lot of people viewing it yet. So I was kind of curious about that. I was curious to see what you guys think. Now, if you are viewing from Twitch, my chat is just spinning. It's trying to connect. So don't think if you are chatting that I'm not answering. It's because I just can't see it right now. I'm hoping that it works out. I'm not sure what's going on with that. But yeah, guys, so really, really good show. But first, I want to, if you're new to the show, the Blazing Defender Report. What is the Blazing Defender Report? What the hell is this? What am I watching? What is this? I want to watch Fortnite. I was trying to stream Fortnite. I came across this fucking crazy idiot with a bunch of comics in the background and shit talking about comic books. So this is what I do on the show, guys. I I'm always looking on the internet for stuff that I find interesting that I think you might find interesting. Okay. And it's always going to be in this nerd comic book, sci-fi fantasy genre. It's always going to be like that. I'm not going to be on here talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders. I'm not going to do that. Okay. So this is what the show is about. I read comic books every week. I give you my top five comic books for the week. And these are comic books that I think a lot of people would enjoy. I let you know why I thought that they were good and maybe worth reading. Some of you have never been into a comic book shop, which, trust me, I get it. Comic book shops can be very intimidating. I'm 6 foot, 245 pounds. I've walked into comic shops and been like, God damn, like, fuck, am I going to get fucking jumped in here? And what I mean by they could be, people are very protective, if that's the word I'm looking for. When you enter a comic shop, it's like, who the fuck are you? You don't belong. It's like that scene in the old country western when the outlaw walks into the bar. He's a stranger and the fucking record skips and everybody kind of like looks. It's kind of like that sometimes when you walk in a comic shop. Don't be that way, okay? And what if you watch this show, I'm going to arm you with enough knowledge that you can walk into a comic book shop and hold your own with anybody, okay? Now, you still may get shot and beat up. I'm not saying you won't. I'm just saying that I'm trying to help you out. And in doing that, you get to learn a lot of cool shit. I'll keep you up to date on the movie stuff as it comes out. And just in another thing, this is what's happened in the last week. I posted something and I talked about it on the show. It was the Omega Red picture. Okay. It looks like a set photo. Like it looks really, really good. And it said leaked from Falcon Winter Soldier. And I was like, oh shit, Omega Red. Oh my God, man, that looks awesome. Okay. Several people have brought it to my attention. I ain't gonna say several people. And then I seen it was on We've Got It Covered or We've Got This Covered or whatever website that is. It's all they do is rumors. Nothing's ever fucking confirmed. Yeah, they throw some shit against the wall and sometimes it sticks. I never post stuff like that. I try not to. And then I seen where they posted it after I had posted it. And I was like, oh, hell, this is probably a fucking rumor. Okay, it looked good. And I even put a question mark after my post. But people were like, oh, clickbait, another fake website. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, guys. Hold on. This was not my intention. I wanted to discuss this. I'm not saying it's valid. And a lot of times I do hold off on stuff till it's confirmed. Okay, and let me also say this. If you're one of these guys that never get on a page to discuss things, but you always get on a page to throw shade, fucking move along. Move along. My listeners, my viewers, the people in this chat group, we're not like that. We like to discuss things. Sometimes they're bullshit, sometimes they ain't. Some of the fun of this stuff is speculating, okay? So I'll never push stuff that I'm not 100% sure about. Okay, but everything's always up for discussion. I am not like a lot of people in today's society where you can't have your own fucking opinion. I welcome that. I want that on this show, and I want this in this the Blazing Thunder community, if you will. So the people that watch my show, the people that get in this chat, this community, you are a part of this community, whether you know it or not. And it's really pissing me off to no end that my chat is just spinning right now and I can't see what you guys are saying because I love your comments. I always love the chat comments. But you are a part of that. And just be positive, man. We all love this. I do this because I love it. And if you're watching, it's because maybe you love it too. Okay. So with that, man, that is what the Blazing Defender show is about. And we're going to get on with it. So one of the cool things that I found out this week that you guys probably already know that I want to bring to your attention is the Star Wars novelization came out this week, or maybe it was last week, and it has shined some light on some questions from Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Okay, now one of the big plot holes or questions that a lot of people had leaving this movie, and I did as well. Was that Palpatine or a clone, or did he really survive the Death Star explosion or from being thrown down in the reactor? Like, what's going on? Okay. And it is made clear in the novel that when Kylo Ren first goes to Exegol, he finds a vat where Palpatine's body has been cloned, and his essence, the dark side, his spirit, whatever you want to call it, is residing in this clone, which may be another reason that we can speculate why he needed another host that was strong in the Force, because it seems like his host was not able to contain his energy because he was in bad shape. So just one of the many questions that a lot of people had, and it seems like, yes, we can finally say definite, confirmed for you fact finders out there that pick apart everything, that he was a clone. And it was not the original Palpatine. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I didn't know if you guys were fucking thinking it was interesting or not, but I thought it was pretty cool. And we could finally put that question to rest about the Emperor and if that truly was him or not. Okay, so a couple shows ago, I was actually supposed to do this and I didn't. And people were like, hey, what about the Netflix shows? And I was like, oh, fuck. It's right. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Yeah, so what I'm watching, okay? I get a lot of recommendations. Some are great, some are okay. None have really sucked, because like I said, I think we all kind of like the same shit. But I've got a couple that you may not be familiar with, and I'm not even going to say they're good. I'm going to call one a guilty pleasure, and I still haven't decided why I like it yet, but just want to let you know what I, because people ask me all the time, what do you watch and what do you recommend on Netflix? I am very excited that Altered Carbon Season 2 has dropped. So I was a huge fan of the first series. I know some of you weren't, and I know some of you read the books, and it was very different than the story in the books. Apparently, I don't know. Tekashi Kovach, I really like the guy that played him in season one. I like that dude. He's also in a Amazon Prime series called Hannah, which he's excellent in as well. So I really like that guy. He was also in Suicide Squad as Captain Flag, maybe. I think that was who that was. Man, I really wish I could see the checks. I'm sure you all would correct me on that if I'm wrong. Which is another great thing about the chat, okay? So, Altered Carbon Season 2, Anthony Mackie is who Kovach is, the sleeve Kovach is in right now, if you're familiar. It is very sci-fi-ish, if you've never seen it. It has beautiful, beautiful set piece. Like, you really feel like you're immersed in a world. It's very Blade Runner-ish to me. The story is kind of Blade Runner-ish with clones, and you have a stack that is inserted in the back of your neck that basically is your essence, your consciousness, your soul, if you will. And that kind of comes into question here too in this series. But it's inserted into basically bodies that are grown, like clones or skins. And some of them have upgrades. And this year they've really given Kovach a nice upgraded skin. He's got some weapon mods. He heals quicker. He's got a filter to like filter out poisons and toxins. So it's really cool. I dig it. I think it's very cool. I am not done with it yet. I am in episode four or five, I believe. So I'm getting close, but very, very good show. Highly recommend Altered Carbon if you haven't read the books. Apparently, if you read the books, you will not like the show. That's what I gather. I have not read the books, therefore I love the show. So check it out. Okay. The next one is, I love zombie shit, so Black Summer. Okay. And a lot of people are going to tell you that Black Summer is a prequel to Nation Z. That is not correct. A bunch of people told me that. I ended up researching it. And the director and creator of Black Summer has said it is in no relation connected to Nation Z. So if you like Nation Z, you still might like this. Every show is a little bit different. Sometimes you got a different cast of characters. It's fucking insanity is what it is. It's like the people in the show never get a chance to catch their breath. And neither do you. And that's what I really like about it. I've turned on some people at the firehouse to it. They really enjoyed it. They're 30-minute episodes, so it doesn't suck up a lot of time if you want to try to binge it. It is very, very, very good. And there is a season two coming. Okay? Not for sure on the date of that, but there is a season two coming. So look forward to that. But Black Summer, if you like zombies, it's very, very good. I highly recommend it, okay? And if you like zombie movies, a movie you probably haven't heard of nor seen is Train to Busan, okay? Spangled Man. Thank you for that, whoever did that. Oh, yeah, and if you haven't hit that bell, the notification bell, please hit that. That way you'll get a notification every time I go live, or follow the Blazing Defender on Twitch. That would be fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate that. I hear the bells and the Star Spangled Man going off in the background. I don't know if you can hear that or not. I hope so. So Black Summer, really, really good. All right, Lock and Key. I am only two episodes into Lock and Key. Now, what I will tell you is, if you're a fan of the comic book, which I'm a huge fan of this comic, it is a little bit different than the comic book. So don't go in thinking it's going to be a true representation of the comic, because it is not, but it is still very, very good. I am only two episodes in. My wife is interested in it, so therefore I have to wait on her to watch it, and getting her to sit down and watch an episode is like an act of fucking Congress. So I'm a little behind on it, but it's cool because I got a lot of shit to watch right now. But Lock and Key, two episodes in, it's good. I'm not going to say it's great yet, but it's pretty good, and it does have the basic theme and spirit of the comic so far, okay? Now, my guilty pleasure. This is the one that you guys might start throwing some shit at the screen or clicking off this. Please don't. Please don't. Okay, it's a guilty pleasure. That means it's not supposed to be good, but maybe if you guys have seen it, you'll like be like, oh shit, I like that too. Oh my God, he likes it too. So, all right, maybe a little validation for both of us. All right, Daybreak, okay? Again, with the zombie theme. And they're not really zombies, okay? So let me break it down for you like this, okay? There was a nuclear war, all right? We don't know hardly anything really about what happened, what caused it, but in the aftermath, everyone that was a adult, they're called ghoulies now. And not only that, they walk around and while they're trying to eat you, they're repeating over and over the last mundane thought they had in their head. And like this one chick, she's in the mall and she's like, I don't know, Express has 2-for-1 sale, you know, and like they keep repeating it as they're chasing you. They're very fast. They will kill you. Now, this is a very tongue-in-cheek zombie show. It's not like Walking Dead. The main hero is a 16-year-old kid that was in high school. He was a total geek. He thinks he's the hottest thing in the fucking world now in the apocalypse, okay? Which is all a front because he's scared to shit all the time. But you get a flashback of what he was like in high school. The jocks have basically taken over this area. It's somewhere in California, obviously. The main dude, he speaks in grunts, and he's got like this humongous mask from like Mad Max that run, you know, he's in charge of all the jocks. The golf team thought they were a gang. They weren't. It's funny and dumb at the same time. And after the first episode, I was like, man, fuck this show. Yeah, I'm still watching it. He's looking for his girlfriend. I have to see if he finds his fucking girlfriend. His name is Josh. I really hope he finds his girlfriend. This dude needs a girlfriend. So it's pretty good, guys. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's good. I enjoy it. And when I really don't want to think about something or get deep down and heavy with something, I turn on Daybreak. I'm cardio and I watch Daybreak. It's pretty good. You know what I mean? You can kind of like half-ass kind of watch it and still keep up. So it's pretty good. I really like it. I hope you like it too. So that's what I'm watching right now on Netflix. Now, it'll change in a couple weeks. But that is what I'm currently watching on Netflix right now. All right. Now, as I talked earlier, I finally got to see Superman Red Son. Now, if you're unfamiliar, this is a Mark Miller comic from back in the day. It's like one of the first things that I remember reading from him. It is basically Superman, if he didn't land in Kansas, but he landed somewhere in the Ukraine and in the SSR during Stalin's reign. So it's an excellent movie, especially nowadays, right? And I don't want to get into a political debate with anybody, but people talk about, oh, he's a socialist, you know. Oh, he's a Marxist. Oh, he's a Marxist. He's a Marxist. A lot of people don't know what the fuck they're talking about, okay? They don't know the difference between a Marxist and a socialist. They don't know the difference between any of that and just being a Democrat. So that was a joke, but I did mean it in a way. Because you hear a lot of that, right? So this movie actually shows the cons of both style, capitalism versus socialism. Stalin, he preached, you know, he had, I'm doing this, we're making humanity better and everybody's for the nation and blah, blah, blah. And come to find out that's not how things go. There's a reality to the situation that Lois Lane, who is married to Lex Luthor, not such a villain Lex Luthor as we've seen in the past. He's actually a pretty good dude. He's still got a hard on for Superman. He ends up becoming the president of the United States. Superman ends up running the SSR. And there's Brainiac and Batman. Now, the Batman, both the Superman and Batman are highly violent. They kill a lot of people. Batman really kills a lot of people to get his point across. He's got a huge mat on for Superman for something that happens in the movie. I don't want to spoil anything for you. But Batman really could have used a little more backstory. You get a lot more backstory in the comic. It's a pretty good representation of the comic. It's not true. It's not like the Dark Knight Returns cartoon was. But this is still very, very, very good. Now, the thing that I'm having trouble with DC right now is the animation. Now, you're going to watch this and think, hey, what's wrong with the animation? There's absolutely nothing wrong with the animation. All right. But animation has evolved so much. DC kind of has a certain look to it, right? They really need to update their animation. I'm getting tired or weary, I should say, of seeing the same type of animation all the time. I just think they could be doing a lot more, like really upping the game, you know, like movies are upping the game in the CGI department. I really think DC should push the envelope. But arguably, DC has the best animated movies, comic book movies, right? I think we can all agree to that. I think it's hands down. It's not even close. Red Son probably should have been the best DC movie, and it's probably not. Actually, me and a couple other guys are working on a show right now. We're going to talk about our favorite movies, animated, Marvel and DC. And DC is going to dominate that conversation. This is still going to be in the mix. Don't get me wrong, guys. But I really had a lot of hope that this movie would have been the best, because this is one of my favorite Superman stories of all time, if not the best for me. The ending was a little rushed, but it's still very, very, very good. Just if you're a fan of the comic, you're definitely going to want to see You're definitely going to want to see this movie. Okay, the voice acting is phenomenal. The action scenes are great. It's a very, very different take on Superman and Batman. Okay, it's a very popular take. Also, like Superman, this Superman Red Sun number one is going for about $30-$40 right now. If you can find a mint condition copy, you're going to pay about $40-$50. So pretty expensive as far as that goes. But yeah, it's still a great movie. Go see it, guys. I give it a 7. I haven't seen a lot of reviews on it, but I'll give it a 7. I liked it. I liked it a lot. The beginning of it, I truly loved. Then it kind of hit a lull. And like I said, the abruptness of Batman's character without a little more backstory, it's just kind of like, boom, he pops on the scene and shit goes nuts. And, you know, it helps with the pacing, but it doesn't help with the character development at all. But check it out. Make up your own mind. Let me know what you think about Superman Red Sun. Thought it was really good. All right, guys, we're going to get to the comics because like I previewed, we could potentially be seeing 2 perfect tens today. Potentially, I say. It's going to be close. All right, here we go. We're going to get started. Number 5. Okay. Number 5 is something that I've been waiting to see, and it was totally different than what I thought we were going to get. Okay, so at number 5 this week, we've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, this is a book that I end up getting because I had heard they were introducing a new villain. Okay. What is his damn name again? I'm going to tell you. The Natural. The Natural. Yes. Now that I think about it, it's perfect. Okay. So I ended up picking this book up. I thought it was going to be like, oh, we've got a show coming up, so we're gonna get everybody ready for the show. No, this is not MCU Bucky Barnes and Falcon. This is comic book Winter Soldier and Falcon. Okay, so actually, Bucky is working for the government. He's on basically a work release program. They're not convicting him for all the crimes that he did as Winter Soldier as long as he does the government's bidding, which is pretty shitty. Okay. Falcon ends up trying to help a friend, finds out there's a group that probably needs to be stopped. Him and Bucky ended up like kind of coming together at the same place. Falcon still not sure about Bucky. It's still very much MCU Falcon Bucky, but it is very much set in the Marvel Comics universe. Okay, so then we enter this character, this new villain called the Natural, and let me tell you something, guys. He is not anybody to be fucked with. Okay, so here's the interiors. I didn't tell you who it was written by. It's Derek Landy and Federico Fenicini. Not familiar with either one of them. Fenicini's art is great. It's fucking great. And that's another thing that was a huge surprise in this book. I was totally looking for this to be a money grab because of the DC show coming up, the Disney Plus show coming up. It is not. It is not. This is fantastic art. And this fucking issue from the police coming to get Bucky, actually it was like a special ops team that came to get Bucky. Very reminiscent of Civil War, by the way. Now we've got this knockdown slobber knocker with the Natural, Falcon, and Bucky. And then look at this kid, man. He's got like a fucking sweater on and he's basically talking mad shit to him the entire time he kicks their ass. Yes, guys, he kicks Falcon and Winter Soldier's ass. It's pretty amazing to see. I mean, it really is. I can't believe for a minute that they introduced this young cat and they're bringing him to the stage immediately. Like, he is somebody to be reckoned with hand-to-hand. He just took out Bucky Barnes, who, you know, is one of the best hand-to-hand guys in the MCU, right? Or the Marvel Comics universe. Falcon, yeah. Falcon's got experience under his belt. We'll give him that. But I believe it's Falcon even says, how is he moving so fast? So it may be kind of like a Midnighter precog, like he can see your move before you do it kind of deal. Not sure what makes this guy tick. Very, very, very good first issue. It's great art, great action, and it's Bucky and Falcon. I mean, come on. And it really looks like they're trying to hone in on that personality chemistry, that dynamic that they had in Civil War, where they kind of don't like each other, but they both love Cap. You know what I mean? So I'm really digging it, man. It was a very, very, very pleasant surprise this week, was Falcon Winter Soldier. Like, I was totally looking for it to be a money grab, and it's not. Like, you got to check this art out. And I'm going to compare this cat to somebody. Federico Venicini. I'm going to compare him to somebody, and I'm probably going to catch some shit. He's a poor man's Sean Murphy. I said it. Look at this art. Go through the pages. It's not as detailed. It's not as gorgeous as Sean's is. It's not as polished as Sean Murphy is. But you can tell, if I was to sit down with this guy, he is a Sean Murphy fan. You can tell by this artwork. Really, really cool. Really enjoyed this issue. Looking forward to more of it. All right. So number four, I was actually talking to a guy about the Detective Comics this week, and he was like, man, I'm really not digging it. And I really am. And that's the reason this issue is number four this week. It is Detective 1020. Yes, that is not a misprint. It is a 1020. And one of the reasons this issue was so fucking cool is we have Two-Face back. Two-Face is back in the Batman universe, and he is crazier. Yes, he's fucking crazier. He's crazier, but yet he's smarter than I think we've seen in past iterations of Two-Face. Something is going on with his body. As you see right here, Batman, like the whole right side of his body looks like it's burnt or, you know, by acid. Two-Face, where normally it's just his face, right? He now has he's got scarring all over his body. We don't know if it's spreading. This is something new that's going on with Two-Face. Not sure what's happening. Two-Face busts on the scene. Batman is figuring it out. He's following the trail of bodies. And I'm going to tell you this, man. This guy, let's see. What is his, who did this? Brad Walker. Yeah, Brad. You're killing it, dude. Brad Walker, guys. This artwork is really, really good. Was totally blown away by this art. I mean, obviously, I'm showing you two faces because he did do the cover as well. But this is in the interiors. It's very good. Not familiar with Brad Walker at all, but man, he looks like he's somebody that's going to be around for a minute, guys. Extremely good artwork here. Now, the one thing I will say about this, his art, is his Batman. His Batman, it's a little strange. It's a little too polished. I wish he would rough Batman up a little bit, because the detail he puts in the scarring on Two-Face is amazing. Now I'm digging Thomasina's story in Detective right now. So that is number four, and this is a new story arc for Detective with this Two-Face issue. So go check it out. I think if you're a Batman fan, I think you guys will dig it. I know I've been loving Thomasina's work on Detective. So, all right, number three. Now, number three is going to be no shock to you guys, because I'm going to tell you what right now. When this comic hits the shelves each week, it's going to be in my top five. It is something different that you've never seen in comics before. It is high fantasy at its fucking best. And what I mean by that is the story is so rich, It is so detailed. It's so involved. Don't be ready to read it just once. You're going to have to go back and read it a second time, and that's a good thing, okay? It is The Last God. I believe this is 5 or 6. It is by a friend of the show, Philip Kennedy Johnson, and I always have to look at his name just so I don't fuck it up. Federico Federici, okay? This, dude, the art... When you get amazing storytelling and fantastic artwork like this, it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It is a buffalo chicken pizza with the buffalo sauce that you just fucking love. It is the good ecstasy, not the kind of shit that just makes you grind your teeth and sweat. It's like the real good shit to where like sunlight is giving you orgasms. Okay, it's that. That's what a good comic book can be if you have the right writer and the right artist, and that is The Last God. If you're a Dungeons and Dragons fan, you should fucking kick yourself in the balls right now if you're not reading this book. Okay, it is awesome. It's amazing. And I want to give you, do I not have a, oh man, I know I had an interior shot for you guys, but I blew it. I didn't load it. But this is Federici's artwork on the cover. You could see how he's got that painted look. Like it looks like he airbrushed it or painted it by hand. The interiors are gorgeous. The monster creations. Oh my God. If you haven't seen the interview that I did with Philip Kennedy Johnson, look in the Twitch library. It is on there. He talks about what Federici brings to the table. He says it way better than I ever could. Obviously, he's a fucking amazing comic writer. But Last God, guys. DC's Black Label. It's fantastic. They are still fighting the Flower of Monsters. It is it goes back in time to the first time they went to the Black Stair. Now they're trying to go back to kill this last god that has somehow came back to life. It's God, right? So you're getting another dynamic. You have this eclectic group of, are they heroes? Are they villains? I mean, it's so deep. The story is so layered. There's so much history and world building. Like, I've not seen a comic book like this in 20 years. I don't know if I ever have, to be honest. There's music, there's side notes, there's stuff he gives you at the end of the story to just enrich the world and the experience. And they are doing a role-playing game based on The Last God and the universe. So be looking for that as well. Philip Kennedy's going to be back on the show very soon. He is doing the Captain America mini-series for the Eclipse. The big event that's going on in Marvel this year. So be looking for Philip to come back on the show extremely, extremely soon. All right, guys. The fucking round's over with, right? Okay. So I am going to give this book number 2. All right. So there's 2 books left. I teased a perfect 10 for 2 books this week. All right. So this book is going to come in at number 2, and it is Ice Cream Man number 18. All right. Now I have to kind of get myself ready to talk about this book. Now this is why. Comic books, they can hit certain emotions, right? Just like any book can, like any song can, like any TV show, any movie. Okay. You get an emotional attachment to it, all right? It strikes a nerve, a chord. It hits something deep inside you, and you're like, holy shit. And it's something you don't forget anytime soon. Ice Cream Man 18 is going to be like this for me, all right? This is not a superhero story. It's kind of a horror story. It's kind of an episode of Black Mirror, okay? You have this man, this gentleman on the front, and I'll go ahead and give you a shot of the interiors as well. Let me tell you who it's by first. Maxwell Pierce, W. Maxwell Pierce is the writer, and Martin Morazzo is the artist on this. Man, when I say heavy, and I mean fucking heavy, guys, this is a heavy story. don't be ready to go to a birthday party or something like that and read this beforehand and think you're going to have a good time, because you're going to be thinking about it. All right. So you have an older gentleman who obviously is suffering from some type of Alzheimer's, dementia, some type of mind-wasting disease. He is narrating this story, okay? And as he sits in his hospital bed, he's trying to remember events of his life. His life is coming to an end. He is aware of this, okay? And he's talking about fearing the gremlin and when he sees the gremlin. And here in this second panel, you can see the gremlin, okay? Now, what this gremlin does is he is stealing this man's memories, okay? And here is his son coming to visit him, and his son is basically talking to him, telling him that his marriage is falling apart and everything. So this man is remembering his son, trying to remember his son. And the way it's narrated is fucking brilliant. As you read this, you understand that this man has some type of memory wasting disease, but he's manifested into this gremlin. And what happens is he remembers, is it him or his son that was playing baseball? Okay. And it shows him striking out, and he's like, I was never any good. And then he remembers his son sitting on the mound, and he's getting ready to throw a pitch. And he talks about how confident and like something he never was in life. And then the gremlin shows up and touches the boy, and he disappears. His memory disappears. Okay. They're talking about his mother, and the man automatically thinks back to one of his favorite memories of all time of him and his wife dating. And as they're playing and like play fighting around, he goes to chase after her. And then the gremlin comes out of nowhere, and the man begs, please don't touch my wife. This is my favorite memory. Don't take this from me. The gremlin touches his wife, and the memory's gone. Okay. So as the story progresses, the man is just degrading into nothing. Everything that's made this man alive and human, it's going away. The gremlin's stealing it all from him. Okay. And then there's a scene or a page where it's seen, because I can see this so vividly in my mind. It's written so well that he's seeing that he wasn't a good father to his son and daughter. And it shows his wife leaving him. And at the end, she says, I hope you're happy. And he's sitting there with the beer in his hand, and he thinks, I don't know if I've ever been happy. He can't remember being happy. The gremlin has stolen everything from him. Okay. Now, as heavy as this is, the daughter does come in and talk about how the in vitro worked. I know you said it was a bad move, Dad, but the in vitro took. I'm ready to be a parent. I'm ready to do a better job than you and Mom did. Okay, she's telling him this, all right, like as he's laying in bed. He doesn't speak. He can't speak anymore. Okay, he's lost that ability. He's just in his mind where the gremlin is stealing memories. Okay, and then there's a moment where the son and daughter are in the hallway talking about how their dad doesn't have much time left. And there's a very warm, if there's a glimmer of hope in this whole story, is between these two realizing how much they are like their parents, but they're going to change how they raise this child. Okay. How the daughter is going to raise this child. And the son says, you were always Mom. I was always Dad. You're going to be a fantastic mother. And then in the bed, you see the man. It looks like his time is over. He realizes it's death is coming to him, and the gremlin sneaks up on the bed, and he starts to walk toward the man. And the man, at one, his final thought, his last thought is, I did live a good life, and I was happy, and that's good enough. Like, for a last thought, I had two kids. I had a life. I lived it. I didn't live it good. I didn't live it as good as I could have, but I lived it, and that's good enough. I had more life than some people do, and then that's it. The gremlin touches him, and he's gone. So this, guys, I'm telling you right now, that brief explanation of it does not do this fucking story justice. Please read this comic. It transcends what comics can be. It transcends what people think comics what people think comics are. It's not all about X-ray vision and flying and muscles and violence. This story, I had to I read it and I had to fucking decompress for a minute, man. Smoke a cigar, take a drink of bourbon, I don't know. But I mean, I had to decompress. That's how heavy this fucking story is. I am not familiar with the Ice Cream Man, and I'll tell you why I read this book. I needed 5. I'd read 7. I needed a top 5. I usually like to read something for you guys that I normally don't read, just for me to tell you what I think about it. This was it. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. That makes it weird too, right? Oh my God. This may be one of the best comic book stories I've ever read. Now, I'm not going to give this a 10. And I may regret this. I'm not going to give it a 10. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it didn't make me happy. I am going to give it a 9.5, though. It's the first 9.5 I've ever given. The only 10 I've ever given was Rebirth Zero by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. So if you haven't read that, please do. It was a self-contained, amazing story. And that is one of the goals and one of the criteria for my 10s, is this needs to be a book that anybody can pick up. You don't need to know anything. And once you read this, you're going to go, holy shit, what the fuck did I just read? This is that book. And I may regret not giving it a 10. I really might regret it. It's fantastic. My hat's off to these two creators. Don't know who you are. I've never heard of you before. But by God, I will never forget Ice Cream Man 18 ever. Fantastic. Well done. Well done. So number one is going to be, and again, it's unfair. It's unfair to Ice Cream Man 18. I'll tell you why. It's because number one has backstory. Number one has, this creator has rekindled my love for the X-Men, and everything that he did in House of X and Powers of X and everything he's continued to do in this run, this may be one of my favorite runs of all time of comic books, and it ain't even over yet. It's on issue 7. Okay. So with that, no further ado, it's X-Men number 7. This book is a comic book that transcends what X-Men comic books have ever been. They hit on so many themes in this one book with characters that we know. And they're using characters that we don't even like Apocalypse, he's a bad guy. Or is he? This is it in a nutshell, guys. If you're not reading this book, please do. Just please do. If you're watching this show, you need to be reading the X-Men, the Hickman's X-Men. You just need to read it. You don't have to read Powers and House of X, the miniseries before. I wish you would, but you don't have to. You'll get it. You'll get it. Trust me. So, when the Scarlet Witch in the House of M, which I'm getting back a ways, okay, when she erased the powers of hundreds, thousands of mutants across the world, she took something from them. She took who they were, okay? And nobody in comics has really explored that idea, explored that fact that the Scarlet Witch actually took the identity from these people, like ripped it from them. Okay. Mutants are very proud to be mutants, as you'll soon see in this book. So what happens is it's called the Gauntlet. Or I'm sorry, the Crucible. It's called the Crucible. Been watching a lot of Combine this week, and we got the gauntlet on my head. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, guys. I'm going to show you some of it. Okay? I can do that. I can do that because I'm suspicious. All right. Okay. This is Melanie Guthrie. Okay? She is from the Guthrie family. Sam Guthrie, as you know. It's a very powerful mutant community, or family, I should say. And her powers were taken from her. Okay? And I'm going to go ahead and slide over here to this. All right? So today is the day of the Crucible. And you don't find out at first what the Crucible is about. So Scott Summers and Wolverine, who lived together with Jean Grey. Yeah, that's another story. Scott wants Logan's, he wants his thoughts on it. And Logan's like, you know, I don't sit on a quiet council and neither do you, but I'm not okay with it, but there's nothing we can do. Okay. And actually Scott says, you think it's wrong. And Logan's like, didn't say that. Even I felt that way. It ain't our choice to make, is it? And Scott calls him out. Like, I feel like that's a cop out. And he's like, call it whatever you want. I don't sit on the council. Neither do you. They had a choice to make and they did. Now we all have to live with it, whether we like it or not. Again, if the kid wants it, then who are we to say no? Okay, so this is not something they are forcing this kid to do. She wants to do this. Okay, now we come to a scene where Exodus, which is a mutant that I don't know hardly anything about him. I know he's an Omega powered mutant, and he's been a villain, but he's telling these kids at this story. He's telling the kids the story about why the Crucible is important. Now, we don't even know what the Crucible is yet, guys. As you're reading, you know a lot of people are having some very, 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 very strong thoughts. And even the children are like, oh, we don't say her name. We don't say her name. Talking about the Scarlet Witch. So what happens is Scott is struggling with this, whether it's right or not. So he goes to see Kurt because Logan tells him, you need a priest, dude. You don't need me to tell you it's right or wrong. You need a priest. So he goes and finds Kurt Wagner, which is Nightcrawler, who is a priest. And this is a mutant that grew up believing in God. But now mutants can be resurrected via the five. Five mutants that their office used in cohesion together as a process can resurrect mutants, okay, with the help of Charles Xavier, of course, to give them their consciousness via enhanced Cerebro. Okay, it's all a thing. Okay, long story short, mutants can be resurrected now. Okay, they're immortal basically. So then you get to, you know, Kurt is really struggling with the fact that this goes against everything he's ever taught to believe. Like, this can't be right, or can it? Okay, which we'll get back to Kurt, because he kind of ends with something that was pretty, pretty, pretty powerful. But so then you get to Apocalypse is the head of this Crucible. And the girl, Paige Guthrie, Melanie Guthrie, is sitting there. And he's like, hey, if you want to live your life out as a human, it's fine. You can do that. It's a life. You know, Apocalypse gives a shit about human beings. Okay, and this is the scene here. You see this big-ass sword. Everybody's there watching. Everybody's there. And she's like, no, this is what I want. And he's like, basically, with Krakoa and mutant sovereignty now, you have to want this. This is not something that I can just bestow on you. I can give you. The Scarlet Witch robbed you. But everybody on Krakoa has a part. Everybody has a part to play. Whether you defend it, whether you nurture it, but we all protect it. Okay? Being a mutant is a privilege and an honor, and you're still going to have to earn that. And basically, she has to earn it by fighting Apocalypse. And I'm going to show you some of it. And let me say this. Lentil Yu, I've never been a fan of his artwork, but he has become so polished. He's not as wild and as abstract as he used to be. I'm really, really loving what he's doing here. And there's also a panel where Apocalypse asks her name, and she says Arrow. He says, no, Arrow's a mutant name. I see no mutant in front of me. Perhaps you were born a mutant, but the humans stole that from you. And now, in all ways that matter, you are as they are, aren't you? And she said, yes. And she's like, he's like, tell me your name. She's like, Melanie Guthrie. He's like, Guthrie, a powerful mutant family, a great name. What a disappointment you must be. And then with that, Sam Cannonball, right, from New Mutants, is like, that's it. I'm going to knock his head off. And Melanie Guthrie's like, no, wait. This is what she wants. Like, this isn't something that you can do. She has to do it. So, and then Apocalypse tells her, look closely. There are people willing to fight to the very last one to preserve our way of life, to fight and die for one another. This is why we do not accept those like you simply killing yourself to be reborn as something better. That's a surrender. And those days are beyond our people. Do you understand? And she's like, I do. He said, then pick up your sword. So here we go. This is the fight between them. Oops, let me back that down just a little bit so you can see it, guys. But this is the fight between them here. You've got Arrow or Melanie Guthrie fighting Apocalypse. Now, we all know how this is going to go down, okay? Apocalypse is going to win. And so Cyclops and Kurt are watching this and they're still talking. And Kurt is wondering if they're not changing every time they're resurrected, because Kurt and Cyclops were just resurrected. Okay. And they have questions. And he goes, think about it. Morality. If one cannot die, if one is immortal, then what is the lure of eternity? Why seek heaven if we can for all time do God's work here in the living world? Is our true cross now the burden of creating a heaven on earth? Such questions I could continue today, but consider the small cracks already splintering through the foundation of the society we're building. Okay? So, and here you see, basically, Apocalypse is, you know, he's taking it out on her. Like, not really taking it out on her, but he's ending this. And then this is where he says, you can live like a human. It's an existence of sort. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you just surrender, we can heal your wounds. We got mutants that can make you whole. All you have to do is quit. Just lie there. Give up. And she's like, go to hell. He's like, good. So they go at it one last time. And then here you go. The end. Okay. And then he says, you're going to die like that on your knees. And she says, never. Dude, I got cold chills when I seen this screen right here. I was like, oh, shit, motherfucker. Fan-fucking-tastic. Fantastic. Apocalypse kills her. She is resurrected. For all to see, Arrow emerges. She flies up into the air. I don't know what her skill set is. I don't know what her mutant ability is, but she like glows real bright, very pretty. And the last thing Kurt says to Cyclops is, I think I need to create a new religion. So Kurt is going to create the first mutant religion in Krakoa. So Man, this comic, it touches on so many different things. It's going back to what I said in the beginning about the mutants being able to resurrect themselves, like they're basically immortal now. There's always a payoff at the end for these types of things. It's just nature. And I think with them introducing this crucible, it is another layer to just what Hickman is doing with the X-Men. It's fantastic. This issue is fucking fantastic. It's gorgeous. There's action. And the theme of humanity, is this right? Is it wrong? But wait, wasn't they done wrong when Scarlet Witch took their ability away? I mean, there's so many questions, moral, spiritual morality. It covers the whole gamut. I'm going to give this a 9, or I'm sorry, I'm going to give this a 10. This to me is a perfect comic. Now, the argument will be there's a lot of backstory to understand this issue, but this fucking comic is so good. I hope people read it and they go, what? What is going on? I have to know more. And I think this comic will do that. It's not as self-contained as I was like. If someone would give this a 9 or 9.5, I've got no issue with that at all. But man, I read this comic and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and how many layers there is to this about good and evil. We're seeing characters like Apocalypse. Like Apocalypse is becoming this messiah, this Masonic figure to the mutants. And it's like, dude, I was for sure he would bring this place down. And then you got Kurt questioning his spirituality. You got Logan, who doesn't like it, but Logan is buying in, and we never thought we would see Logan buy into anything, right? Now, he's always been a staunch mutant supporter. He's always been proud to be a mutant, but there's things that he's turning a blind eye to. Now, a lot of this stuff, if you're reading X-Force and whatnot, the wheels are going to come off this. The wheels are, they're already playing the seeds, man. The wheels are going to come off. But issues like this, I think we're always going to reference, like, ooh, the Crucible. Remember that issue. Remember, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, fantastic comics, guys. Like, I was thoroughly, thoroughly blown away this week by the comics. They were really, really, really good. Please give Ice Cream Man number 18 a read. It was amazing. I gave it a 9.5, first 9.5 I've ever given. And the second 10 I've ever given is X-Men. So please give that a read, guys. That's all I got. And I really apologize, man, for the chat not being what it should have been, because I can't see it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's a Streamlabs thing. I don't know if it's a Twitch thing. I apologize. I'm still working it out, guys, for you guys that are on Facebook, to be able to see your chat as well. I hate leaving you guys out of the conversation. I hope you're chatting amongst each other. If you're not listening to me on iTunes or Anchor, please do. You can always go back and check. But the show is right here. Like the chat, the live chat, that's the reason I'm so bummed out that the chat's not working for me tonight. And I didn't want to start the show over and everything else, blah, blah, blah. But please, if you could leave a review, a 5-star review on Anchor and iTunes, I'd appreciate that. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. The links are right there on the sweet overlay that Casey Stroh's made me. So please check me out in other places, guys. If you know somebody that likes this kind of stuff, shoot them a link to the show. Maybe this show, maybe another show that you like. I don't know. Or just, hey, check this guy out. Check him out on Twitch. Click the bell. Every time I go live, you'll get a notification. I hope you guys can join me next time. But I'm definitely going to get this shit fixed, I promise, as far as the chat goes, because the chat's a big thing for me, and I definitely want to see what you guys are saying. I really, really am bummed out that I didn't get to hear your thoughts on these comics. But maybe we'll go over it next week, too. I'll just ask if anybody has read the two comics and what your thoughts are. We'll have like a little question answer session on. It'd be great. All right, guys, for that, I'm out of here. Thank you again so much for joining the Blazing Defender Report today. And just remember, guys, be nice. Treat people like you would want to be treated, and the world will just be a better place. All right, guys, with that, Blazing Defenders out. Peace.